The South Dakota Symphony Orchestra heads to its season finale. You're listening to STPB's In the Moment. I am your host, Lori Walsh. Well, the symphony will conclude the season with Béla Bartók's Concerto for Orchestra, also on the program, Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 21, with guest pianist Alessio Bax. And the orchestra will premiere a composition by an Iranian composer that honors the resilience of the woodpecker. I sat down with Maestro Delta David Geyer as the orchestra heads to the season finale.
It's been just terrific. It feels like a crescendo. You know, every aspect of the organization, the orchestra's playing beautifully, the chorus, oh my gosh, the chorus and the Haydn creation, just phenomenal. So, yeah, now we come to this final concert, a Bartók Concerto for Orchestra. Feels like the perfect piece to end with, because the purpose of that piece is to show the orchestra off. So here you go.
Isn't every piece to show the orchestra off? Tell me how that's different.
Well, Bartók, and this is a new genre that he invented in 1943 when he wrote this piece. He was the first one to write a concerto for orchestra. Because usually, you know, you think concerto, you think, you know, a soloist with the orchestra backing them up. We have a piano concerto on Saturday night, you know, and that's like the normal concerto. But concerto for orchestra, well, it features all of the different sections of the orchestra in unique ways and quite virtuosic ways. And, just really, it's a time for an orchestra to flex its muscle.
What was it about him as a composer that made him see the potential for that? If it hadn't really been done in that way,
yeah.
Why him? Why at that time?
Well, not sure I have the exact answer to that question. I mean, in a way, it's a five-movement piece. It's like a symphony, but and there are elements of it that tie the whole piece together like a symphony would. So it's not just five different pieces of music. And yet each piece is so unique and features different parts of the orchestra in such unique ways that he sort of stretches that symphony genre, you know. It's, I mean, contrast had been part of classical music basically since the classical era. You're contrasting different themes and different parts of the orchestra, so on and so forth. But this is a new idea that that really took the world by storm. It was only 6 years later when Lutosławski, the Polish composer, wrote the second concerto for orchestra, and now there's plenty of them, you know, because people really cottoned on to this, and audiences really enjoy hearing a well-composed concerto for orchestra because, you know, audiences tend to be rather proud of their symphony orchestra.
We know our musicians. They're our neighbors.
Yeah.
There are music instructors often. If your kid is studying music, they'll often have or be in one of the schools of members of the orchestra. Plus, they just have fans.
Yeah.
They just have fans. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a crowd pleaser as well.
It is, but certainly not dumbed down in any way. It's a piece that has a lot of substance to it, and it's so colorful. I mean, Bartók, he was an ethnomusicologist, and he canvassed all of Eastern Europe into Northern Africa, collecting folk tunes on wax cylinders in the first half of the 20th century. And those things are still in a collection at Columbia University.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. But, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of folk tunes. And then he basically, out of all of those collections and studies, he created his own language, musical language. It's a very unique language. It sounds like folk material, but it's very sophisticated. But it uses, you know, all kinds of different meters and cross rhythms and things like that that you would find in the mountains of Transylvania, for example. Or, you know, it's really, you know, it's a joy to listen to because it's got that, everything dances, you know. It's really, you know, it's perfect for, if you want to show off the orchestra, then let them dance, you know.
What else is on the program? this weekend?
Well, I'm looking forward to having Alessio Bax, a pianist, return to the South Dakota Symphony. Alessio came here, you know, like, I don't know, 20 years ago as part of Paul Sanchez's Dakota Sky Piano Festival.
Okay, sure.
Used to happen several summers. I think Paul and Alessio must have been students together. I don't know, at Eastman or down in Texas. I'm not sure. But I'll never forget the very first Dakota Sky Piano Festival. I was not in town, but Mary Sommervold, she got a hold of me and said, "Alessio Bax, don't forget that name. You have to hire him." Like, yes, ma'am. Alessio, I want to say he's played at least three or four concertos with us. Mm-hmm. But it's been over 10 years since he's been here, and his career has just exploded. You know, he got the Avery Fisher Prize. He's all over the world, this guy, playing concertos, lots of recital things, chamber music. We're quite fond of one another, and he's fond of this orchestra. So I think he, too, is really looking forward to coming back and playing some Mozart.
So you were told to remember that name. How did you meet him and connect with him eventually? Did you just invite him?
I hired him.
You just hired him?
Yeah. I just hired him.
Mary Sommervold said hire him, and you, yeah.
Well, I think I might have heard a couple of recordings, yes, but I mean, he played the Beethoven Hammerklavier Sonata, which is a monster piece. It's like, okay, all right, you can bring that one off and get Mary on her toes. That's a high recommendation.
Yeah. So what is it about him that is special?
Well, I think Alessio has so much poise in his playing, just really, really tasteful playing. It can be powerful, too, no question. I mean, he plays Rachmaninoff, and I think he played Tchaikovsky's first piano concerto with us. But his elegance. Mm-hmm. This is something that Alessio brings. That's why I'm really looking forward to playing Mozart with him, because I haven't done that before.
Tell me about the piece. Tell me about the Mozart.
Concerto number 21 for piano out of 27. So it's verging on Mozart's late piano concertos, which are some of his finest compositions in any genre. But this particular concerto in C major has been an audience favorite for 250 years.
Yeah. Now, I have been in the Great Hall when he has played with the symphony orchestra, was blown away by it. Again, I want to say it was just so enjoyable. Like, you don't have to know anything to go in and have a good time.
True.
Right? Because it's just, it's impressive. But I was also maybe a little overwhelmed by just how much I didn't know. I remember that being a moment in the hall where I was like, wow, so much is happening here that is happening above my head. Yeah. Not a bad thing, because again, I was still enjoying the concert.
Yes.
But it spoke to me to the reward of repeating your time in the hall.
I think that's true. I mean, you know, great art keeps giving dividends the more you enter into it. As my wife is fond of saying, there are no spoilers in classical music. Like, there's no particularly, you know, great standard repertoire. There's, you know, you're actually, the more familiar you are with it, the more you're going to get out of it. The deeper you're able to enter into it. I mean, you can just come in and, you know, let the music wash over you, and that's absolutely fine. Be entertained by it. But
sure.
The composers generally that we play, that we most value, we're not writing their music simply for entertainment purposes. They really, it's philosophy and sound music. It lifts us up and helps us to contemplate things higher than ourselves, which, you know, in this particular moment we're living in and in our country is all to the good, I would say.
And it's a collective experience.
That's true. It is. It's a community.
Yeah, it's a communal experience.
Yeah, it's another thing that people may not really think about, that, you know, you go to a pop concert of some sort, you know, you're in the audience, you're receiving. But in a symphony orchestra concert with no amplification, you've got, 80 plus players on the stage, just this concerted effort to create something beautiful together. It's palpable on an energy level. Mm-hmm. And we consider the audience to be part of the instrument that's being played. The hall is being played. We're not just playing music for you. Mm. We're playing with you, And sometimes in those really quiet moments, we can hear the audience breathe, in the Haydn Creation a couple of weeks or weekends ago, in the quietest spots, I had several people say, the old adage, you could hear a pin drop, It was really like that. I mean, like nobody was coughing or nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, you're spellbound.
Yeah.
So how often do you get that, Mm-hmm. And it's you to enter into a great music like that.
Yeah. Wow. And then you have a world premiere.
Yes, we
do. Tell me about that.
Well, this is by an Iranian composer named Ali Reza Motivasili. And I've known Ali Reza for several years now through the Crescendo Summer Institute, which is a festival that I conduct at in Hungary every year. And Ali Reza has come from Iran for at least the last 5 years. So I got to know him first as a bassoonist. He's also a conductor, also a composer. And a few years back, we premiered a piece of his called Morning Dance, MOURNING. And it was written in honor of the women of Iran. It's beautiful music. It has a folkloric element to it. But Ali Reza contacted me last fall and asked me if I would premiere this new piece of his called Darkoub, which means woodpecker. And there was an opening in this last concert, so I agreed to premiere the piece. Now, I haven't been able to be in touch with Ali Reza because he's moved out of Iran, everything's bombed, and, they're living through a terrible, terrible situation there. Occasionally, something will sneak through when the internet happens to work for him or something, so I was able to confirm that the woodpecker in Iranian culture, or perhaps going back to ancient Persian culture, is a symbol of resistance, the bird. Mm. Persistence, maybe, I don't know. But this idea that, obviously there needs to be, a certain amount of resistance, in the Iranian people at this moment.
Yeah.
As they're living through this time. So, but Ali Reza is the principal bassoonist of the Tehran Symphony, which is not playing these days, but founder of the Caspian Chamber Orchestra as a conductor as well, and keeps on composing, because that's what we do in adversity. We keep making music more passionately than we ever imagined. Mm.
The history of music in Persia.
Mm. Oh, please. Yes. Yeah.
Right. Much there to talk about.
Yeah, indeed. I keep getting, you get your Instagram reels, feed you. Yeah. And I get all this great world music.
Sure.
And, of course, the Persian stuff is just fantastic. Just all the folk music and the instruments that they're known for, for centuries. Mm-hmm. Millennia.
Mm-hmm.
Just really what a beautiful ancient civilization.
You can find more about the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra on their website, sdsymphony.org. That is our conversation for today. We hope that it served you. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thanks for listening.